God for the word for today. And I would like for you to take a pen and a paper, because when God speaks, we can't trust on ourselves to remember, but if you write it down, or listen, do you still do the live? It's recording. Okay, good. Praise God. I was reminiscing how when we all first got saved. Wait, let me pray. Father, this is your moment. And this is your pulpit. And this is your platform. Not a man's, not a woman's. We honor your presence. And we desire to hear what your heart beats for us today. And we know that your word will change our lives. Because one word from God will change our lives forever. If we listen, we hear, and we put into practice. We love you and thank you and give you all liberty, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You know, when we got saved a long time ago, and Pastor, when did you get saved? 1980. Yeah, I got saved in the 70s. And I was in the movement, and I was talking to my mother yesterday about my days in college, and that's where it spearheaded, and I came in contact with people, and influencing people that... There are good influences and there's some bad influences. And I used to wear boots, Levi's, flannel shirts, bushy hair like that. They used to call me Angela Davis. And I was very serious. I was in the movement. But you know what? When I came to Jesus, this pastor, I was going to his church, and he said, Anna, if you do not learn the word of God, you're going to go back. And I thought, I just graduated from college. I don't want to go to another college. That's what he wanted me to do, to go to Bible college. And he said, if you do not get in the word, and go to Bible school, you're going to go back. And I knew what was in the back then. And I said, okay, I'll go. But I filled out my application, and I said, I was hoping, I was saying everything wrong so they wouldn't accept me. Because I thought I just finished 3-4 years in college, now another 3 years, and my aunt used to call me a professional student because that's all I did was study. And so what happened is that I went to Bible school. And that's where my life changed. It wasn't the buildings, the campus. It was the Word of God. And there was so many times I would be in class and tears would come to me. Because I had never heard this good news. I had never heard of Jesus and his love and so much. And I did not know how to pray. I did not know how to read a Bible. Did that happen to you when you first get saved? You don't know how to read a Bible. You don't know how to pray. And at 8 o'clock, every night on campus, there would be an alarm that would go off. I don't care where the students were. in the library or the dorms, whatever, everybody had to be in chapel at 8 o'clock. And I remember I had my spot and I kneeled down. And there was this guy who would sit a little bit in front of me over there on his knees. And wow, did he pray. And I said, that guy knows how to pray. And I would be on my knees and I was trying to copy him because I didn't know any better. But that's how I started. And then there was one night when I was in the library and a tremendous spirit came and said, leave. Just get up and leave right now. Just walk out of here. Leave everything and walk out. You see, God had a plan for my life. And my perfect will of God for me was to be in that Bible school because that's where God called me to be a missionary. If I had left, I would have missed God's will. But what happened was that I left the library and went into one of the classrooms and I sat on one of the chairs there, the desk, and my cousin followed me. And she goes, what's wrong? I said, I can't take this no more. I'm leaving. And so she left. When she came back with a whole library, students. They surrounded me. They started casting out the devil, rebuking and claiming me for the Lord, for his will. And I stayed 3 years and I graduated and I ended up as a missionary. First in South America and Ecuador. And today we're in Mexico. And I could share with you many, many stories of how God has come through. But I'm going to talk today about prayer. And I remember this day. I would go into the hills by the cliffs. And we would give Bible studies there where the farm workers lived. And they would gather when I would come. And we would sit and I would teach them. And I'd take my guitar and sing. And one day I drove up in my truck and this father came out with his daughter in his hand. And her head was down to her chest like this with her hair all in front of her face. She didn't want to show her face, but her father was dragging her to me. And he says, I want you to pray for my daughter. And he says, look at her. And he pulled her hair all the way back. And I saw from here to here an open wound, and her face was rolling down. Off of her skin was rolling off of her head, and her hair was rolling back. She had a wound that I had never seen. I said, Father, these people don't have money. I can't say, get in the truck, let's go to the hospital, and we'll get her admitted, and we'll see what we could do, And I didn't want to put the father in that position. And I said, but Father, you're the great physician. So I remember I put my both hands on her forehead. And the whole village came out running to see. And I laid my both hands on her forehead, and immediately the devil said, take your hands off of her because whatever disease she had, you're going to get. I said, shut up, devil. God is greater. And I laid my hands on her little head. She was about 16, 15, 16 years old. And that's all I had to offer her, was prayer of faith. But the prayer of faith works. And so I went to the pharmacy. I told them the situation. They gave me everything, antibiotics, pomadas, everything. Went back to the camp, and I had a friend, Ramoncita, that lived by close. She would go every day to give her treatment. And I went back one day, and I was driving the dusty dirt roads by the fields. I hadn't even got to the camp yet. And I saw the whole village running out to the road, the dirt road, to greet me. They didn't even wait for me to get to the camp. And the father was the first in line, pulling his daughter, running, and the whole village running. And I stopped my truck right in the middle of the dusty roads. And I jumped out of the truck. I said, ¿Qué pasó? What happened? He said, look. And it was a matter of days. She was normal. Jesus put her skin back, her skull back, her hair back, her skin back. To God be the glory. God is my witness, and he hears me right now, and he knows that what I'm saying happened. The other day, I was going through some pictures, and I saw her and me hugging at the camp. I have that picture. It's precious to me. I could tell you many other stories on the mission field in South America and different places where God has manifested his glory. And you know, it's very important that we know about prayer. And so I'm going to share with you, there's different kinds of ways to pray. There's a prayer of binding and loosing. Now, there's a time to say that kind of prayer, I bind and I loose heaven. And then there's another kind of prayer, it's the prayer of supplication, where that's a prayer of commitment. That Jesus said in Gethsemane, he consecrated himself before he went to the cross. You know, before we go and we step into something very, very important, we need to make the prayer of consecration, commitment. There's intercession. The prayer in tongues. The word says that in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 12, that when we speak in tongues, we don't speak to man, we speak to God. So when I pray in tongues, I'm praying directly into his heart. Do you know how that powerful is? That is powerful. So I'd rather speak in tongues. Like Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Do we? And then, but today I want to speak to you about the prayer of agreement. Say amen. Amen. Now we find that in Luke chapter 5, verse 22, when Jairus had a daughter, and she was very, very sick. She was laying in bed. It was a matter of life and death. And Jairus was a Jew. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't a Christian because there was no Christianity yet because Jesus had not died on the cross. And there was no Christian church until the book of Acts. Amen. So Jairus had seen Jesus on the streets. Because when life and death came to his house, are we here? How many times has life and death come to our homes knocking and saying, I'm going to take them. They're going to die. They're going to run away. They're going to be in drugs. And you can't do nothing about it. That's a matter of life and death. And that's what Jairus was facing. And so the word of God says that Jairus must have seen Jesus lay hands on people and people get healed. Because that day when he saw his little girl, she was 12 years old, lying on the bed, and she was very, very sick. He ran out of his house and he said, I got to find Jesus. How many times have you been faced with trials and tribulations and life and death situations? Say, I got to find Jesus. That's what Jairus did. And he ran down the streets. Jesus had just come back from the Sea of Galilee and there was crowds following him. And what happened was that when he found Jesus, this is what he did. He said, he fell at his feet, at Jesus' feet. That's what we have to do. We have to humble ourselves and know we can't do anything about it. But we know who can. And he submitted and he humbled himself and he threw himself on the dirt. And he said, please come to my house. My little girl is very sick, but I believe. I have faith and I believe. Where did he get that from? By what he saw. Because he was a ruler in the Jewish community. And he said, but I believe that if you come pray for her, lay hands on her, she will be healed. That was faith. I'm going to tell you something. When we ask something in the prayer of agreement, what is the prayer of agreement? The prayer of agreement is when you're facing a serious situation in your life, your finances, your home, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren. Amen? Amen. And you see that at that time, you need to call somebody and say, get in agreement with me. We're going to see how Jesus looked for someone to come into agreement with him. This is another type of kind of prayer that we're supposed to pray. The prayer of agreement. Right now, we prayed for a couple and we all came in agreement for that couple, right? We prayed the prayer of agreement. And so that situation there, the prayer of agreement, it takes faith. You need to believe. You cannot be in fear. Don't be in fear. Have faith and believe. Because if we're in faith, doubt, and unbelief, nothing will happen. And people say, God didn't answer my prayers. Well, how did you pray? There's different types of prayer. But when I need someone to come into agreement with me for a matter of life and death situation, I better know who to call. And I better know who not to call. Because there are people who will doubt your prayer requests. They'll say, hey, but didn't the doctor say they have cancer? They're going to die in 2 days. I don't need that person to be in agreement with me. Uh-uh. I need somebody who's going to come into agreement with me in faith, prayer, believing that God will do a miracle. And so the prayer of agreement is powerful. Now, I wanted to share this with you, that it takes faith. If you're going to pray any kind of prayer, including the prayer of agreement, it's going to take faith. You say, well, then I'm not going to pray because I don't have faith. Especially when you're new in the Lord, people doubt their faith. But guess what? Good news. You know, the Bible says that God gives us faith as small as a mustard seed. You know that the mustard seed is the smallest seed in the world. But when you plant it, it gives fruit. So the second type of prayer is the Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. You know who used now faith? The woman with the issue of blood. She goes, I need healing now. I need to touch Jesus' hem of his garment now. That's the second kind of faith, now faith. And the third kind of faith is the faith of the centurion who said, Jesus, my servant, he's sick in my house, but I'm a leader, a commander, and I know how to give orders, and I know how people will answer and obey my orders. And I believe that if you just say the word, you don't even have to come to my house. You just say the word, and he will be healed. You know what Jesus said? Never have I ever seen such great faith. So don't classify yourself as somebody that doesn't have faith. We all have faith. Even if it's as small as a mustard seed, that's your faith. And that's where we go from glory to glory to glory. And so what happened was that when the Jairus, he stood up and he said, Jesus said, let's go to your house. Well, when they were getting ready to go to Jairus' house, one of Jairus' servants came and he said, don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead. Wow, what a friend. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus put his hand on Jairus and he said, don't be afraid. The first thing that wants to come and grab you in time of needs is fear. And Jesus said, Jairus, don't be afraid. Have faith and believe. And so he said, let's go to your house. So the multitude, the looky-loos, were after to go see what was going to happen, what Jesus and Jairus were going to do. And so they get to Jairus' house. And who's standing outside but the multitude and the 12 apostles? Now listen to this very carefully. Now those people, the multitudes, they were just learning about the things of God, right? Through Jesus. But many of them didn't have faith. And Jesus was getting ready to walk into Jairus' house. And he looked at the multitude and he said, all of you stay outside. We got to do that sometimes. When we're going through a crisis, we need to know who to let in and who to say, you stay outside. Because they're not in faith. They're in unbelief and fear and doubting. And so the 12 disciples were there. They were probably thinking, okay, we got it. We're going to go in. Jesus said, I want Peter, I want James, and I want John. Three of the 12. He told the other 9, you stay outside. With probably Thomas was one of them, the doubter. And what happened? I'm sure the apostles were shocked. But remember when they tried to cast out the devil out of a man and they couldn't? Jesus knew who he had. So Jesus, Jairus, his wife, and the 3 apostles walked into Jairus' house, and Jesus finds a bunch of relatives crying, hysterical, screaming, and he turned around and he looked at them and goes, what's up? What's happening here? And they looked at Jesus. Don't you know? She's dead. And Jesus said, she's not dead. She's asleep. What did they do? They laughed at Jesus. They laughed at Jesus. And I know sometimes when you're going to stand in faith in agreement with somebody for a miracle, because that little girl needed a miracle. When you stand in faith for your family, your situation, there are people going to laugh at you. What do you mean? God's going to keep that job. God's going to give you that house. They laugh. He threw them out, all of them. And when I was preparing this message, I had a tremendous thought. I said to myself, if I had been there that day with Jesus and he was looking whom to get, to be in agreement with him, to raise that little girl from the dead, would he have called me, Anna, come with us? Or would he have said, Anna, stay outside? You know where you're at in prayer. You know where you're at in your faith. I don't, but God does. And we need to grow in faith. We need to grow in the word. We need to increase and increase because we need him in the good times and in the hard times. And so Jesus went up to the little girl. And the word says he took her by the hand. And he said, little girl, come alive. And she came alive. Give him the praise. And he wants to do that in your house with your children, with your marriage, with your grandchildren, with your relatives. When you pray the prayer of agreement for an uncle, who you know he's addicted and on drugs and alcohol, and you're praying in agreement and say, Uncle, come alive, cousin, come alive, brother, come alive. Another time where we see Jesus taking the hand of someone who's sick in a bed, lying in a bed, with a high fever, was Peter's mother-in-law. And the word says he took her by the hand and he said, be healed, come alive. I'd like to just leave it there because I believe the word spoke loud and clear today. You need somebody to come in agreement with you. If there's nobody else that will come into agreement with you. If there's people that are surrounding you in doubt, fear, and unbelief, go to your pastors. Have them come into agreement with you. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Wonderful Jesus, we want to be like you. We want to be wise like you. Jesus, help us to read more of your word, to make a commitment to study your word, to make a commitment to pray, to acknowledge God in the morning, to have a conversation with him during the day, to reminisce with him good memories. Lord, remember when that happened? Wow, you took me out of that one. Thank you, Lord. Have a relationship with him in prayer morning, noon, and night. Don't let go of his hand. And I really feel the urge to tell you, family, as you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, Jesus is here right now. There's an anointing of his presence. And I want you to see Jesus extending his hand to you right now. And he's saying, give me your hand and come alive. If that's you, raise your hand and touch Jesus' hand, that he's extending his hand to you right now. And he's saying to your soul, spirit, mind, and body, come alive. If that's you, raise your hand. If you make that commitment to him. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Albert, you got to commit a church. He sees their hands and they're coming alive. Mother B, do you have a word from the Lord?
Everything that I'm not taught right now, I'm in agreement with. We pray and we are in agreement and we've seen the power of agreement. You know, whatever is taught to you, whatever you hear in teaching from the pulpit, receive it and add it to your prayer life. You know, I believe in prayer. I've seen God move in prayer. And so I just want to encourage you to get a hold of him. Get a hold of him. You know, and the commitment that you made, you know, make that commitment every day. Every day. Dedicate your life every morning. Every morning. Make your life a part of his life. And there are angels around you. And they're standing around with their hands folded like this, with nothing to do. And you have the anointing and the power to give them something to do. So put your angels to work. Read Psalms 91. I tell my Bible study, read Psalms 91 every day, because you will walk out and face the world and you know you're protected. You know you have angels walking with you. And so I just encourage you to be men and women of prayer. because prayer connects you to God. It connects you. You have a connection. And so I encourage you, pray, pray, pray. And please don't ask just anybody. You know, sometimes we're used to just, sister, would you come in agreement with me? You know, I'm going to pray for this or that. And we're kind of just, you know, do that. No, know who you are asking. That woman or that man is committed to prayer and knows God and knows that God is in him. And then he can come or she can come in agreement with you, and there is power. It's done. It's done. And so let's become men and women of prayer. Men and women of prayer. And that you know what? People will know because of your fruits. See, you'll have fruits. So because of your fruits, they will know that they can say, agree with me. So I encourage you with the word. I love the word on prayer. And so I just encourage you, be men and women of prayer, men and women of God. So there you go.
Thank you, Mother B.